Juvenal was born in about 60 AD, lived to 136. He wrote 16 verse satires. And what he does here, it's a little bit like the cast of characters that we talked about as having been characteristic of Plautus's plays. A variety of kind of social misfits of one kind or another. But in particular, Juvenal wrote about the travails of the poor, especially poor writers like himself. He was always concerned of why don't people give me more money and help me out more. But in the process, he exposed ambition, pretentiousness, and really with great feeling and with great bitterness, I think it's fair to say, he excoriated people's despicable treatment of each other. His language is rhetorically sophisticated. His message is unsparing. Juvenal's tough. You read Juvenal, you know exactly what, like the best editorial writers today, you know exactly what's on his mind. Marshall is different. Let's conclude this discussion of these writers with Marshall. Marshall was born in about 40 and died in 104. Another Spaniard. He composed about 1,500 mostly satirical epigrams. He could be crude. He could be rough for effect. He could be vulgar. He was, however, also a very polished stylist, and at his very best, he was really quite funny. Let me quote you just a few of his very brief epigrams. You disappoint no creditor, you say? True. No one ever thought that you would pay. Or again, you blame my verse to publish? You decline. Show us your own, or cease to carp at mine. Another? The verse is mine, but friend, when you declaim it, it seems like yours. So grievously you maim it. Or finally, why don't I send my book to you, although you often ask me to? The reason's good, for if I did, you'd send me yours, which God forbid. Now, the Principate was also a time of stunning architectural achievements. Let's conclude our reflections on the Golden and Silver Ages with just a few words about some of the most remarkable of these buildings. We may regard Roman architectural achievements as sort of triumphs of civil engineering. The Romans were masters at using, adopting, extending architectural forms. Remember we stressed the practical genius of the Romans, borrow things and make them your own and find uses for them that others had never dreamed of before. So often it's the case, whether we're talking about literature or philosophy or architecture, the Romans are not innovators. The Romans are not innovators. Roman creativity rests in finding uses and applications for things designed by others. So we might think, for example, of something like the great aqueduct, the Pont du Gard. Now, the city of Rome, of course, was fed by a series of aqueducts that had to be tended very carefully. But the Pont du Gard in the south of France, one of really the most remarkable of all of Rome's civil achievements, is part of a long aqueduct complex that brought water from the hills near Uzès in the south of France to Nîmes, some 50 miles away. Very characteristic of the Romans. We need water there. It's 50 miles. All right, fine. We'll build an aqueduct. Romans don't say, oh, gee, we can't do that. Hadrian's Wall, built right across the north of Britain. Now, could Hadrian's Wall, impressive in its ruins even today, could Hadrian's Wall actually have served as a secure frontier between the Scottish hills to the south and England, the Scottish hills to the north, I'm sorry, and England to the south? No, of course not. It was a triumph of Roman engineering. The Romans came in and said, you mess with us, look what we can do. Can you do this? It was an ideological statement in brick and mortar, not really a barrier. In the city of Rome itself, we see examples of the urban amenities that I referred to when I talked about the Romans building cities around the empire and building great buildings there to, again, project their power, to portray their power, but also to make the cities more pleasant places to be. We might think, for example, in the city of Rome itself, of a building like the Pantheon. The Pantheon, a round building, built between 27 and 25 BC initially, with an arched roof and architectural details on the outside. Very interesting. The Romans were among the first to use architectural details as a way to decorate a building and not to serve functional purposes. Now, with its arches, with its relieving arches, with its supporting elements, the Pantheon was in many respects a very bold and creative building. but every element in it was older. Similarly, for example, the Flavian Amphitheater, or the so-called Colosseum in Rome, built late in the 1st century AD. Once again, a building with architectural elements as decorations, a building that would seat 80,000 people for spectacles, a building that put arches on display in a way that is quite pleasing to the eye. And yet, for all of that, a building all of whose elements were older. Today's traveler to the Mediterranean world will bump again and again and again into the buildings of the Roman Principate. Today's students will still read the literature of the Roman Principate. This was a period that marked Western civilization as before it only Periclean Athens had done, and as after it perhaps only Voltaire's Paris would do, although possibly Medici in Florence would be a competitor.